invite Pastor Tim to come up and continue our series.
And we're looking today specifically at the theme called Live to Give. Would you say that with me? Live to Give. One more time. Live to Give. That's a borrowed phrase from our guest speaker last week, Brother Wayne Myers. How many of you enjoyed him last week? 85-year-old apostle in the faith, done tremendous work throughout the world. And that's his motto for life, live to give. I want to specifically identify 10 gifts that you and I have, all of us have within our grasp to give away to people, to give away. When I talk to people about giving, a couple of questions always seem to surface. One of them is, what do I have to give? There's many of us who really, when we look at our lives, we feel like, well, I don't have anything to offer. I have very little to give, and if I did give it, it really wouldn't make that much of a difference anyway. What do I have to give? Now, I personally ask that question at least 3 times a year. I asked that question just 2 days ago, well, actually a couple of days before that, but around May 2nd, because it's my wife's birthday on May 2nd. And so I always ask the question, what can I give my wife? It always happens around Mother's Day, which is next Sunday. And by the way, we'll have a treat for you. We have 4 of the ladies in the church going to share on what we can give to our children. We're going to carry this theme of giving into next week, and what can we pass on to our kids. So I think you'll enjoy our time together as you hear a variety of ladies share that morning. What can I give my wife on Mother's Day? What can I give my wife on Christmas? It's always a question that I have, and I find it very, very difficult to find an answer. Do any of you men sympathize or empathize with me? I've learned that the best thing to do is to, throughout the year, when you're going shopping or when you're with your wife, whenever you go into a store, she looks at something and she just, oh, man, I love, oh, wow. That's a good time to take down a note and say, boy, I'll come back and get that when her birthday's there. But see, I'm the typical guy, when that happens throughout the year, and it does frequently, I say to myself, I'll remember that. I don't really need to take it down. And, of course, I forget when the birthday comes around. When I do write it down, and I have been known to do that, then after months go by and the birthday comes around, it's usually, where did I put that piece of paper? I know I've got something someplace. It is a question that we need to ask. For my wife's birthday, to let you know, I got her a card. And I opened it up and I said, you know, you've got me, what else do you need? Which she replied by giving me about 50 or 60 different things that she could have. No, I didn't say that. It was one of those cute cards that about getting older and stuff. And I wrote and said, you know, the older you get, the more I love you. I got that from some book, someplace, that, you know, some quote seemed to work with her. Oh, honey, that was straight from my heart. Ended up buying her a card. Got her at Save Mart. Guys, they have these like $3.50 little plants. Now, she would have enjoyed cut flowers a little bit more, but those are too expensive, so the little... But she liked the plant too. But she has been jealous and envious of my Bible program that I had on my computer. I have a program that you can look up the Hebrew, the Greek, and you can find any place in the Bible. Just lots of different things. So I did purchase her a computer program for her computer so that she now has several translations. And so I did buy her something. I just wanted you to know that. So if you're taking notes, let me give you the second point first, okay? I don't usually do this, but it just seems to work in. When I think about giving gifts, whether it be to my wife or to anybody else, I have discovered, as maybe many of you have, that giving to others is the grand master key that opens and unlocks the door to a spiritual realm of life. When you give to others and make others your focus, when you live to give, when others become your focus, what you do is you put yourself in a position where God can bless you unexpectedly, and you put yourself in a position where He can really do the impossible. That's what living beyond the possible is all about. Live in such a way that I position myself so that God can not just do what I want Him to do, but what He wants to do, which is oftentimes beyond our ability to even conceive or think about. As long as you and I are watching out for number one, then God lets us do that. But Philippians 2 says, if you will put other people first, if you will consider their needs before your own needs, then if you watch out for them, God will watch out for you. So can you see with me how that giving really positions you for the unprecedented move of the Holy Spirit in all different realms? Giving gifts is the master key. Now, I have a master key here at this church. That means that I can get in every door that is on this premises. Matthew 16 says that He's going to give us the keys to the kingdom. When you bind something on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. When you loose something on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. There are certain keys that God gives to us, and giving is one of those master keys. No wonder Paul in Romans chapter 1 said, man, I really look forward to being with you guys. He says, I long to be with you so that we can exchange gifts. So that I can give you what I have, and you can give me what you have. And if we'll do that, we'll both mutually be built up and edified and encourage one another at the same time. Giving is the grandmaster key that unlocks a dimension of life that you will never experience unless you put others first. Giving, in your notes, this should be point one, giving doesn't make sense of the natural mind. Doesn't make sense to the five senses. And that's what living beyond the possible means. It means that when our senses collide with the Word of God, we always yield to the Word of God. And I'll tell you, giving doesn't make sense. When someone comes in and they say, you know, Pastor, we're just really desperate. We aren't able to pay our house payment, or we can't pay our utilities bill, or whatever else might be going on. And I'll start talking with them, and I'll say, have you broken into understanding the principle of tithing? Well, what is tithing? Well, tithing is giving a 10% of your income back to the Lord, because the Bible says that He owns everything. You have nothing unless He gives it to you, and the 10% that He has talked about in the Word of God, when you give it back to Him, it reminds you. And that's why we do communion, isn't it? We are reminded of the cross, because we can tend to forget. When you give the 10%, it reminds you that everything belongs to Him. Have you broken into that understanding? Well, no, we haven't. And oftentimes the people who are continually in financial difficulty and find themselves stressed out, not able to make ends meet, often you will find they haven't broken into this concept or understanding of tithing or giving back to God what He has instructed them to. So they aren't following the patterns. And last week I liked what Brother Meyer said. He says, we want to claim the divine promises, but we don't want to live by the divine premises that God has laid down for us, the patterns that He has given to us. It doesn't make sense. And one of the reasons it doesn't make sense is because I think we've believed a lie. In your bulletin it says, and I wrote this out for you because I thought it was a good quote. It says, to give anything is to be left with less, and to give everything is to be left with nothing. Could you read that with me together? Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3. To give anything is to be left with less, and to give everything is to be left with nothing. I am convinced that many of us really believe that. If I have $10 and I give a tenth, I give $1 to the Lord, or I give $1 away, I am left with less. Now all I have is $9. And that's what I see, that's what I hear, I think, I feel like now I have less. Man, if I have $10 in my pocket, and God says to give $10, if I give $1 and I have less, man, if I give $10, I'm going to have nothing. Now, that really is a false truth. That is a lie. It's not a truth. Would you look with me at Luke chapter 6, verse 38? It says this, give and it will be given to you. Is that up there? Read it with me. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wow. Now that's the truth. That's not what I'm telling you. That's what the Bible is saying to you. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And in that text, Jesus himself, we're reminded by Paul in Acts 20, 35. Paul is giving his farewell address to the Ephesian people. He's never going to see them again. And he says this. He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the truth is, it really is better to give than receive. When you give, not only are you blessed, but they're blessed. And not only are they blessed, it could bless several people. It's a multiplication factor. And in Luke chapter 6, the doctor Luke tells us, give and it will be given to you. So the truth is, when you give, it's not that you have less, or if you give everything, you'll have nothing. It is when you give, you open up a door for God then to return to you his blessing. It doesn't always come financial, as we'll see in a few moments, because giving goes far beyond just finances. But he has blessed many times. If I were to take time, and I don't see Tom Neal here. He was going to share this morning a testimony of how God has been faithful to this promise. I know that I have many, many times given, and it has been given back to me overflowing. When you invest in God's kingdom, I'm telling you that the reward is not just in financial return, but in the gifts of the Spirit that are released to you, a broadening of your understanding and arising to see God's faithfulness. I have given at times when I couldn't give. I've paid tithes for the last, I'm 57 years old. My wife taught me to tithe because I wouldn't tithe at that time. And so back in college days, but since those days, we've tithed. We've given to the Lord because it belongs to him. We've even had to go without, sometimes even some meals. And let me tell you, if you look at this way, you can tell I could stand going without a few meals. You know, but God has been faithful to always fulfill. I am so much richer now, whether it be material or spiritually or physically or emotionally. I am so much richer now because of that pattern of giving than I would be had I not lived by that. Give and it will be given to you. So the truth is, it's not if you give, you'll have less. The truth is, if you give, it'll be given to you. Now, do you notice the last part of that says, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. You and I actually are in the driver's seat. You determine what you give, how much you give. And if you give this much, then that's the door that you've opened for God to return to you the blessing in the spiritual realm, in the financial realm, in the various realms that we live in. And so some of you are doing well for yourselves. You've made a lot of money, and you haven't broken into this understanding. You don't give to the Lord, and you say you're doing okay. Well, I'm telling you, you're not doing okay, because there's so much in the spiritual realm that you're not experiencing. Your family is suffering spiritual insights because of your hoarding and holding on to what God has given to you. You actually determine the amount that you receive. But I want you to notice in your notes once again, I think it's the next point, giving is more than an act. Now hear this phrase as I say it to you. When God looks at giving, he's not just looking at the act. He's looking at a heart by which we give the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reasons. But I could spend weeks and weeks, and I intend to do a series on giving, but it's going to have to suffice just today and next week on Mother's Day. But it's not just about giving, it's about giving the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right reasons. You see, Donna's gift that I gave her was the right gift because she welcomed it, she enjoyed it, she wanted it. Have you ever received a gift that you didn't really want? On our wedding, that goes back a ways, 35 years ago. On our wedding, we got a lot of gifts. And just a few years ago, while we were cleaning out the garage, do you know that we found one of those wedding gifts that we received years and years ago because we didn't really need it. We didn't really want it. It's one of those gifts that just didn't have any use. Some of you who are getting married soon will be receiving a gift from us. It's called regifting. When you give, you've got to give the right gift. You've got to give it at the right time. You've got to give it in the right way, the right spirit, and for the right motivation, the right reason. I'll tell you, if any of those are out of kilter, you're not going to experience the divine blessing, because it's more than just giving money or giving whatever else we give. It has to do with our heart. It has to do with our attitude. It's possible to give away and get poor. But I'll tell you, when you give in accordance with God for the right reason, at the right time, in the right way, you'll find that it opens those spiritual doors for God to do unexpected things in your hearts. Giving includes, but it also extends beyond material and financial realm. There's sometimes, church, that, you know, you and I have to give up some things. We have to give up our control over our own lives. It's called self-righteousness. I give up my life to Jesus Christ. I let Him control my life. There are times when we have to not just give financially, we have to give over to God certain things. Some of you this morning were encouraged by the worship and by what God said through Doug about giving over our stuff, bringing the junk, the stuff that weighs us down to the Lord, putting it at His feet and receiving the freedom that He gives. You have to give it over to Him. Sometimes we have to give to certain things. Sometimes we have to give in to the Word of God and obey it, even though our minds doesn't totally understand it. Sometimes we have to give wisely to various things because of the laws that God has given. Giving goes far beyond just financial resources, even though it does involve them. I've listed for you 10. And I could have given you 20, but these were my top 10 gifts that you and I have to give. And the first one is, we have forgiveness to offer. Is there anybody here who's experienced the gift of forgiveness? You've received it from someone else. You've messed up. You've screwed up some things. Can you remember the joy of receiving forgiveness, being given that gift? I mean, just taking communion this morning and being reminded by Chris, and did a good job, Chris, reminding us of why we take communion and what Jesus has offered to us. I mean, what a gift! What a tremendous, tremendous gift! And you have offered, hopefully, forgiveness to people. One of the best gifts you could give someone who's hurt you is the gift of forgiveness. I don't know how you spell forgiveness. I'm the worst speller in the world. That's why they made secretaries. Or personal assistants, I guess. Maybe do we use the word secretary anymore? Whatever the updated word is, but someone who can spell—that's the term. But how do you spell it? F-O-R-G-I-V-E, G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S. Forgiveness. I spell it F-O-R-E, G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S. Forgiveness. You give before they ask. You give before they deserve. You reach a point in life, you say, I'm not going to be the judge. I'm not going to be the jury. Before anything else happens in life, before they even deserve it or ask for it, they've hurt me, I'm going to give forgiveness. What a tremendous gift. You know, all of us have the ability to give that gift. Don't underestimate the power of any gift, but I'll tell you, the power of forgiveness is a tremendously powerful gift that opens up all. You wouldn't believe the dimension of spiritual life that has opened up when you offer that gift. The gift of hope. Give someone some hope today. I have seen people, and this may blow your mind, it may sound contrary to wisdom, but I have seen people in their eyes, I've seen them being filled with hope as they sit down and talk with me, as I share about my personal struggles that I have been through over the years in my marriage. As I share how Donna and I have struggled, most of it being my fault in the struggles, and I mean that sincerely, there's always a proportion in marriage struggles. It may be 50-50, sometimes 60-40, 80-20, but there's always a percentage at some place. In my marriage, it was 90% me and 10% her. Maybe 95.5. I'm not ready to admit that yet, but I feel it's pretty true, 90%. As I share some of the things I've gone through, it's like you can see people say, wow, if God can do that in you, if he can make your marriage work, then he can do it in us. See, hope. I've had the privilege of sharing with many, many men over the years some of my personal addictions and struggles that I've gone through. And all of us have addictive behavior. It may be expressed in different realms, but mine showed its ugly head in a certain dimension. And I've been able to share with guys. And as I've shared with them, it's like a breath of fresh air. They can now talk about what's going on in their life. They don't have to hide it any longer. And they have hope. Oh, well, if God can do something in you, then he can do it in me. That's a gift, but you have to be willing to be vulnerable, see? See, I'll tell you, if you want people to open up to you, you've got to open up to them. And if you and I can ever get to the place where we are forgiven of our sins and we don't have to walk around in shame any longer, I can tell you that I've messed up. I can tell you that I've done a lot of things wrong. I can tell you specifically what they are. And when you do that, it'll bring hope to people who are struggling with those things. Thirdly, we have a gift of time. Whenever you give someone time, you're saying to them, you're valuable. In this day and age, people are making decisions about salaries and jobs each and every day. They'll say, I will take a lesser salary financially if I'll have more time. I want to have more time with my family. I want to have more time to do this. I want to have more time to do that. Time is a wonderful, wonderful thing. When you give someone some time, you're saying to them that you mean something to me, you're valuable. Whenever you give God some time, it's saying to him that I consider you valuable. Hopefully all of you, many of you are still involved in life journals. We've started that in 2008, January. It's January, February, March, April. We're now moving into the fifth month. I've been fairly good. A little bit better than poor. I've stayed somewhat consistent. Is there anybody who hasn't missed a day? Can I just see any hand? I just want to kick you out if you are here. Okay, so all of us have missed at least one day. Well, I tell you, I fell off the wagon this last week. Man, I fell off. Is that the expression you use if you've been sober for a while and you get back in it? You fell. I fell off the wagon this last week. I didn't even crack my Bible open. I cracked it open for a couple of things, but it wasn't cracking it open for me. You know what I mean? See, I study a lot. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't study the Bible, but sometimes it's not for me. Sometimes it's for you. Sometimes it's for an event or something. And I can't count those things. But I repented before the Lord. I says, God, you shouldn't even show up today. I said, on the basis of my journaling this past week, you shouldn't even come to church. And he says, well, the church is a whole lot bigger than about you. And I'm really not here because of you. I'm here because I want people to know about me. So God's faithful in those things. But I got back on the wagon this morning, early this morning. So I'm starting again. And if you've fallen off the wagon, get up again. Start. Because whenever you give time, whatever time you give, I'm telling you, it's valuable to God. It's an opportunity for him to touch you. And to make life different for you. Number five, give some full attention. Six, appreciation. Let me tell you, there's a lot of criticism out there today. You know, tell people how much you appreciate them. Number seven, give the gift of wisdom. You may not think you know anything, but I'll tell you, you know a whole lot if you've been in God's Word or you've been following him a lot. We have a gift of love. And this past week, church, we gave a gift of love to our community. And I want to have Jeff come up and share with us just some of the things that have happened, because this is a gift that we gave to our community. It's a gift that I've been dreaming about for the last couple of years, praying that God would open the door for us to have what we've called, what's been called Wow Jam, winning our world. And it was definitely not just an event. It was a missionary assignment for us, and that took place this very past week. We're in the midst of seeing God do some wonderful things. We're in the midst of seeing God bring some breakthroughs. Some of these songs that we're singing, they're really happening in the lives of people, those who are just not along just for the to be a part of the crowd, but reaching out to touch Jesus. And so would you tell us a little bit about what happened, and let's rejoice in the Lord together, because this is definitely one of those gifts that we have to give.
Well, I think after going to Wow Jam and being a part of it Wednesday night, I can see why they call it Wow, because some phenomenal things happened on Wednesday. And, you know, just as Tim's talking about giving, I mean, it was a night of giving. And I think that, you know, when you look at these things that Tim talked about, you know, we gave away hope to people, and people who hadn't seen, experienced hope. People gave time to serve people. And so frequently in our culture, we don't have time. We don't spend time serving others. And if you guys could, in the video room, hold off on that video. We'll show that here in a moment. And we really did give the gift of love. And I just want to thank those who were involved. Wow Jam was a team effort. And for those of you who gave groceries, for those of you who came out that night, some of you gave financially, I just want to thank you for how you partnered with God to give to our community. Some things that really, really struck me about the evening, and you can see in your bulletin there are a lot of the statistics, just some really remarkable things. But one of the things that struck me was the unity that we experienced that evening, just with, and even in the months leading up to it, just between churches here in Hanford and in our community, you know, that we had 11 churches come together, churches of different denominations, and 11 churches come together. We had over 300 volunteers from all those churches come out and serve together. And there's just something that is honoring to God when churches come together, when people unify for a common purpose to love those in need. And so, you know, I think the crowd, for those of you who were there that night, I was astounded at how many people came. I talked to Linda Tavani, who is up on the screen, Peaches from Peaches and Herb. But, you know, I talked to her and she said that, you know, we're really careful with numbers. You know, we don't want to oversell what's happening. But she says, you guys easily had over 4,000 people here at the peak. And, you know, when I talk to people in the city, when I talk to other people, and, you know, that we were doing this big event in Coe Park, people didn't think we'd have that many people show up. And so when we talk about living beyond the possible, when we partner together, when we work together, and more importantly, when we partner with God, man, incredible things happen. So over 4,000 people showed up, and it was just remarkable. But the giving, this idea that we were giving. And so I got to walk around and just see guys working on bikes, you know, and how we were giving in those moments. And, you know, we fixed, I think, 78 bikes within, you know, a few hours. And those guys were just working and working and working. We gave out close to 1,800 meals, and we had more to give. We just ran out of time. Cut 108 hair, you know, heads of hair, I guess I should say, but, you know, 108 people got free haircuts. And this was as we stepped out, and it's not about what we gave, it's about what God gave through us. And so it really is about giving love into people's lives. And so, you know, just a remarkable event. And again, it's not about, again, what we have done, but it's about as we partner together with God and we use our talents or just our time, our willingness to just be there. You know, some people said, well, I can't cut hair. I can't do a manicure. I don't know how to fix a bike. But there were people giving out glasses of water and cups of cold water, people that were giving out hot dogs, and just that time element when people say, you know, we stop and we pause and together we say, you matter, and I want to serve you and bless you because there's a God who is full of hope and love and grace and mercy. And people responded because of that. And I think the biggest thing to celebrate is we made up 480 salvation packets. And these were packets that had Bibles in them, salvation cards, mapped to local churches in the area. We gave all of them out and we ran out. And we had to come up with more salvation cards. They were getting in their trailer, busting out Bibles. I'm guessing we gave out 600 Bibles. And so when we put that number on there, 446, those are the number of cards that we received back from people. And we know that a lot of cards we didn't get back. And we know that a lot of people made decisions that we don't know about. But 446 were the number of salvation cards that we received back from people that evening. And some of those were recommitments, and we celebrate God for that. The people who have maybe place their faith in Jesus Christ, but have wandered away and gone on their own routes, and they came back and said, this is where I need to be. And then we had people who, for the first time, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. That's what this was all about. It wasn't about giving out hot dogs and fixing bikes, and those are all good things, but it was about sharing God's love with people so that they come to a point where they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's awesome, isn't it? 446. I mean, I think that's something we can clap about, isn't it? Come on, guys. That's living beyond the possible, isn't it? I think if you would have said to anybody before that event that there would be that many decisions, people said, you're crazy. But that's what when we give, when we use our talents, our resources, our time, and when we partner with God and give his love to others, incredible things happen. I think for me, one of the most profound moments of the evening, Stephen, when he was preaching and sharing the gospel, he had all the pastors in the community come up on stage. And because I was kind of running around and doing any number of things at that moment, I was kind of off on the side, up on the stairs, just kind of watching. And he then had the salvation call. And what was cool to me was a lot of people would think, well, shouldn't the pastors be down in the crowd with the people at this point where they're making a decision? But what Stephen did was, those of you who are believers, who aren't pastors, who don't work in professional ministry, he wanted those people, he wanted you to be down there with those people, connecting with them. You know, because we have a rich heritage as Christians and what we call the priesthood of all believers. And it's not a priest or a pastor or a religious leader who can give into people's life by praying with them and sharing the gospel with them, but every single one of us. And so for me, it was just this really cool moment as I saw the pastors up on stage, but I saw some of you guys here down in the crowd, connecting with people, praying with people, and sharing the gospel with people. And that was such a rich moment that God wants to use each one of us to speak into other people's lives so that they come to put their faith in him. And that was just such a cool moment. And I just for me, it was just seeing some of you guys pray with people and connect with them and see them make decisions was just phenomenal. I'm going to ask you guys, Dennis and Robert and Andrew are going to come up, and we have a video that we want you guys to watch, and a song I encountered this week, thank you, Laura, that just was, or last week, really cool song called God of This City. And we really believe that we know a God who is the God of Hanford. And we also believe that God has things that he wants to do in this city. And Wow Jam was an incredible event, but at the same time, we believe that God has stirred something. And that God, the song says, you know, greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. And we believe that God wants to continue to use us to step outside of ourselves and to love this community to the point where they put their faith in Jesus Christ. So watch the video, you guys lead us. Thanks.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless, you are. There is no one like our God. To be done in this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Declaration that God still moves in our day and our time. And He's the Lord of this place. He's the Lord of our home. And that we are His instruments in this town. Would you stand with me? And we're going to put the words up on the screen. We're going to sing this song one more time. Raise your hands to Him and declare that He is the God of this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. For there is no one like our God.
You may be seated. Hope I can say this without crying. When I saw one of the little, they had a booth at Wild Jam that took kids and dressed them up in police uniforms or doctors or lawyers, just a bunch of different little uniforms. Took a picture of them, sent it home with them. Some of these kids had nothing. I mean, virtually nothing. And you talk about a future hope. They didn't have any hope. But that little picture was to remind them that God has designed them for something special. And they weren't ever to forget that God loves them too. And that they could be reminded from that day that, they can become something just like anybody else. That's your dollars at work, folks. That's your dollars at work. And that's the ninth gift that I wanted to mention to you. Financial giving is a part of our giving. And that Wild Jam would not have happened. It just wouldn't have happened had many of you not sacrificed time and got involved. It would not have happened had many of you had not contributed to what's going on here at Koinonia and through Koinonia so that we could be a part of this. We carried a financial weight in this. And it's just a tremendous work. This afternoon, we're going to have baptisms at Cole Park. You know, if you weren't able to make Wild Jam, boy, feel free to come out at 4 o'clock because those 400 and some odd people who committed themselves now have been invited to make a decision to be water baptized. And so there'll be a number out there, and we're just excited to formalize that. But that's what financial resource can do when it is committed to kingdom work. You know, back about 10 years ago when I had a little retirement fund, and I'm telling you, it was making like 15 to 18% interest. I mean, maybe it was back longer than that. I can't remember how long ago, but well, those were the good days when, boy, I'll tell you, you were making a big bang for your buck. But I'll tell you, even though interest rates are really low now, what, you get 2 or 3% if you invest, but when you invest money into God's kingdom, I'll tell you, the dividends are given back in the form of people's lives, being restored, being assisted. Your gifts are very, very important. Today is a special day for us, as was last Sunday, as has been the last month. I tell you, the last month of services together, I have just sensed the Spirit moving on us and doing something. I don't know if you've sensed it or not. A lot of times I will not sense anything, but yet God's doing some great stuff. But this last month, I have sensed that He's breaking into the lives of people, breaking us free, and going to do more things because there, just like that song said, there's a whole lot more to happen in this city. I tell you, in this county, we've only scratched the surface. I mean, so we got, 1,200 people coming on Sunday. Praise God for that. But you know, there are thousands that don't even know Jesus yet. We got to keep doing what God's telling us to do. And so for this last month, we've been talking and sharing with you about this next leg of the race that you and I are running as a family to build Future Hope, a building that is going to be 13,000 to 15,000 square feet. It's going to provide for our community a preschool. It's going to provide classes for our kids. We've closed classes every week for the last several weeks in one of the services because we don't have room for kids. It's going to give a place for our youth to be able to say this is where home is. And Brooke, you're shaking your head. You're ready for that, huh? I tell you, when I look at that girl and I look at some of the other youth, it gives me hope for this next generation. But they need a place where they can say, hey, this is where we meet. This is our home, so they can experience a revolution. That's what Future Hope is all about. We've been talking about last week, many of you made a promise, a faith promise, to commit to this thing called Future Hope. If you weren't here, ushers, I don't know if you have cards or not, but I was told that you do. If you weren't here last week and you would like to make a faith promise and join those of us who have, why don't you just come down, just raise your hand, and the ushers will. I don't know if there's anybody here who wasn't here last week, but sometimes there is, and if you'd like to be a part of this, the ushers are just watching for you to raise your hand. They'll give you a card, and you can make a commitment as well. Don and myself made a commitment and a promise to the Lord, and today we're going to start fulfilling that promise. This is called the first fruits offering, and we're going to now put into practice what our promise has declared. We promised last week, and this week we're going to say, now God, we're going to begin the journey. See, every journey starts with the first step, doesn't it? It's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to do it. I get around a lot of Christians. I remember John Wimber saying this, who years ago, he's passed away and in heaven with Jesus now, but he was over. He gave rise to the Vineyard movement. He said, Christians get together and they talk about it, they think about it, they even pray about it, but they never get around doing it. And today is all about doing it. He goes on to say, the real deep meat of the word isn't the Greek and the Hebrew. It isn't the nuances of this phrase and that phrase. The real meat of the word is experienced when you do what God tells you to do. When you it's not just talking about giving, it's actually, we actually do give. And then you see. I mean, I've experienced, and many of you have. Some of you haven't, and I'm excited for you because you're about to break into a new realm if you allow God to shake you up and take you beyond your thinking and into the possible realm. But I look at this dirt here that's before me, and I asked the guys to bring some up here as we talked about it in staff, and I just wanted to remind you this is dirt from the property, just right outside the main entrance, across the main entrance. This is where this future hope is going to become a reality. This is dirt from there. And I wanted just to remind you that, boy, that's dirty. Lord, help me not forget, and don't let me touch my yellow shirt. But it looks something like this when God made man. I mean, he, out of the dust of the dirt, reached down and he made man. Wow. Now my question to you is, if God can take some dust and make man, is it possible for him to take some dust, move it around a little bit, and make a building happen? You know, last week we had promises. Next week we'll receive the first fruits offering in a few moments, and we'll catch you up to date next week and tell you how we're going to begin. We've already started the process. We'll find out now next week how far we can go. But last week, what was it, Andrew? Was it just under a 1.2 million? 1.3 million. Just a little bit under 1.3 million was faith pledges. This is a $2 million project, so God's going to have some stretching. That's over a 3-year period. We're daring to believe God. It's obviously in His hands, but we're contending for this to be done within a year. So that means that He's going to have to do something in all of our hearts. And I don't think it's possible if I use my mental mind, my natural mind. But see, that's what this series is about, living beyond the possible. We're going to walk by faith. So my prayer has been, God, would you now, I think I got some dirt in my mouth. I changed my ink last night, and I got ink all over my hands, I know that. I'm asking God, I'm saying, God, would you now oversee this process? And I'm going to ask you to join me. We're going to receive the first fruits offering in just a moment, but I want you to kneel if at all possible. I'm going to stand just because I'm beside, but if you would kneel before the Lord, would you just, let's humble ourselves and ask God to do the impossible among us. Lord, many people here have broken into the understanding that you yourself taught. It is better to give than receive. And because of their giving, whether it's giving time, giving hope, giving whatever they've given, it also includes financial resources. Because of their giving, you have been able to lead us as a congregation this far. We gather here today because you have stirred the hearts of people and they have responded. There is yet more work to be done. We sang about it, your word declares it, and even if we never heard that song or read it in the word, we could look at the hearts of and lives of people and know it's true. There's more to be done. And I'm praying today, as we take this first fruits offering, that you would multiply it, Lord. That you would, over the next 12 months, every time we bring this before people, that you, in fact, oh God, would do just like you did with the fish and the bread. You'd break it, multiply it, and accomplish what you have set yourself to do. Even as you created man out of the dirt of the earth, I pray that from the dirt of this earth, that a building would begin to emerge, and you would help us all to understand it's not about a building. It's not about an event at Co Park. It's about reaching people. It's about reaching people for you. This building is going to be able to do that in a greater way. I pray that you would honor, Lord, if you see anything that is impure in us, any motives that are wrong, anything that needs to be uprooted and dealt with, please notify us, Father, so that we can correct things. We only want to be obedient in these days. In your precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah, Lord. Ushers, why don't you come forward this time? Let's receive tithes and also the offering that we've been talking about that will go towards future hope. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, brothers and sisters. Thank you for receiving that today. Live to give. Say it with me. Live to give. That's what it's all about. You got to hear me now. It's not just about finances, even though it involves it. It goes far beyond finances. It's a lifestyle of giving. Giving forgiveness. Giving hope. Giving time. Giving praise. Giving your full attention to someone when they're talking to you. Giving them appreciation when you receive something. Giving the understanding that you have a way. Giving a gift of love. Giving your finances. Last of all, the tenth one is to give people Jesus. I really enjoyed Ann Graham Lotz, when she came to Fresno. Wasn't her campaign the slogan? Just give me Jesus. I'll tell you, the greatest gift that there is to give is the gift of Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you give people time, give them your full attention, you give them a little bit of hope, you give them some appreciation, you'll give them Jesus. And they'll see what you and I have seen. And the little I've seen about God, it has changed me a whole lot. I haven't seen Him a whole lot. I've seen Him a little bit. And that little bit that I've seen has changed me a whole lot. And it can change them as well. And we're praying in days like today that God will continue to help us live beyond the possible. Stand with me as we conclude. You may be here today and you never have received the greatest gift that there has been given to us. And this is a gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Him to become the driver of your life. Let Him in the driver's seat. I want to have you raise your hand this morning if you are one here today and you're saying, I've never asked Jesus to begin to lead my life, but I want to begin to follow Him today. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. I want to make Him my boss. I want to see what He has to say so that I can adjust myself to Him. If there's anybody in this place, just raise your hand. Don't be bashful. Yes, you're making that decision. Okay, young man. Anyone else? Commend you for that. Courageous. Thing. Yes, I see a hand back there, okay? Yes, I see a hand over here. Yeah, you don't even have to close your eyes, okay? Just anybody else. There's three over there that I saw. Anybody else over here? Okay, what I want you three to do is as I conclude, I want you to come right down, okay? Because we're going to give you some information that will really help you. We're going to pray for you to get you started on your way, okay? So make your way down as quickly as possible because I don't want you to leave without getting what you need to start you on the way. And we'll pray with you, and God's going to begin something wonderful in your life. Elders, wives, prayer teams, would you please come forward? And these three at least are going to come, and they're going to pray with some of you. So make sure you give them if you need a Bible, we have a Bible for you. We have some we have some information, and a tape we'll give to you as you start along the way. God bless you today. Keep challenging yourself to not accept the mediocrity of the day, but keep challenging yourself to live beyond the possible, believing God to do miraculous stuff. Now get out of here, and as Dr. Laura would say, take on the day.